Genesis chapter 29. We start our new series tonight when you can't just get over it. And so we're going to deal with a topic each week for the next couple of weeks through the month of January. And I want to deal with this topic tonight, and it is the topic of insecurity. So take your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 29 as we look at some scripture and deal with this particular topic. Genesis chapter 29, we're going to read verses 15 down through 18. Wait for everybody to get a handout. So let's read verses together, 15 through 18, then we'll have a word of prayer. Genesis chapter 29. I'm in chapter 30. Back up a chapter. So the Bible says, "And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." Well, that's a long time, isn't it? He must have really loved her. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Isn't that a beautiful verse? So this Jacob, he was deeply in love with Rachel. And 7 years was like nothing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study tonight, that you would just use this time to speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a little bit of a recap of the story of Jacob. Jacob had a brother, and who was his brother's name? Esau. And Jacob and Esau were at odds. In fact, Jacob, if you remember, he stole Esau's birthright, and Jacob had to flee because Esau wanted to kill him. And anybody know what the name Jacob means? Yeah, the name Jacob, it means deceiver. There was a lot of deceiving in Jacob's life. But he flees, and he comes to this part of Haran is where he comes to. And living in Haran is his uncle, Laban. Laban is his mother's brother. And when he arrives there, I didn't read it, but look at chapter 29 and verse 1. "Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were 3 flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth." So there he arrives at this well, and there's these flocks there, and there's a well there. That's where they would water the sheep. This huge stone is on top of it. And then he begins to ask some questions. And he says in verse 4, "And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. Sure, we know who Laban is. He was known in the area. And he said to them, Well, is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming." So here comes Rachel, and she's tending the sheep as well. And they gather there by that well, and Jacob rolls the stone away. In verse 9, "And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, rolled the stone from the well's mouth, watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother." And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and he told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art bone of my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him in that space a month. And in that time, he's fallen in love with Rachel. And he wants Rachel to be his wife. But we're going to talk more so tonight about Leah than we are about Rachel. Because Leah lived a life full of insecurities. And I want you to see that in the lesson tonight. Psalm 139 says, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, and how great is the sum of them." I want you just to think about that verse for a minute. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. It's right there on your handout. And how great is the sum of them. We'll come back to that verse near the end of this lesson. But it's just a reminder that the Lord's thoughts are upon us all the time. Because we're important to God. Everyone here is important to God. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, where you're going. You are important to God. And it's so important that we remember that. I think probably if I asked you, most people at one time or another, they struggled with insecurities. And like if you were to tell me when I was a teenager that I would have to stand up in front of people and talk to people, I'd say there is absolutely no way in the world that I'm going to get up and stand up in front of talk to people. First of all, I'm not a conversationalist. I'm kind of a quiet person. And so it's very difficult for me even to make small talk. And that's why I married my wife, because she does most of the talking for us. And no, I'm just kidding. Well, maybe not, but that's okay. I've learned to be a good listener. I had to learn. But anyhow, that's just there's no way. We're just insecure. And most people have dealt with insecurities at one time or another. They might be dealing with some insecurities. Now, think about people who come to church for the first time. There's a lot of insecurity there. They don't know anything about church. They don't know anybody in church. They don't know much about the Bible. Especially adults, they come and they think, "Well, I don't know anything about the Bible. All these people must be like Bible scholars." Well, that's not the case, is it? Everybody's just learning. But there's all kinds of insecurities. And we want to deal with, well, what about those insecurities? How can we find freedom from that? People go through these insecurities through their whole lives, even as adults. And sometimes people don't like to deal with it because it's kind of deep down inside and there's different things that cause insecurities. But the Bible has an answer. So look on your handout under the introduction. For Leah, from childhood to marriage to motherhood, each stage of her life chipped away at her sense of security and acceptance and self-worth. Look at verse 17 of chapter 29. Leah was tender-eyed, and now look what it says, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So these two are sisters, and the Bible clearly tells us that of the two sisters, Rachel was very, very beautiful. She was extremely attractive. And so the Bible, when you read through that, the Bible is trying to get that point across, that there was definitely a difference in the way that these two sisters looked. And then look what it says in verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." Now, I'm sure Leah was hoping that sooner or later someone would come along and marry her. And so the first opportunity, there's her younger sister, and Jacob loves her. And Jacob is attracted to her, but not to Leah. That in itself could chip away at someone's security. So we see that right from the start, but we see that her insecurities actually started even before this particular place and time. And as we read through, we'll see that. So let's look on our handout now some things. Foundations of insecurity. Let me ask you this question. Just think about this for a minute and give me an answer if you would. Why do you think people struggle with insecurity? Why? What are some reasons or what are some things that people are insecure? Yeah, one is their looks. Yeah, just like Leah. What else? Older brothers. I had older brothers. Yeah, older brothers could cause you to be insecure. What else? Yeah. Yeah. We're going to find out with regards to Leah that her father didn't really think much of her. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yes. The way that you're perceived by others. Good. These are very good. What else? Yes. Yeah, bullies in school. What else? We don't necessarily have to be specific. It could be some traumatic experience that you had, right? Either growing up or as an adult. And it could be a very hurtful experience. Anything else? Those are good. Well, on your handout, just fill these three blanks in, and then we'll talk a few minutes about them here. So here's some foundations for insecurities. And the thought here is this. When people struggle with insecurities, it's often because we judge ourselves by what we do rather than who we are or what we are. We struggle with insecurities because we judge ourselves by what we do instead of what we are. So number one, fill this in on your handout, performance-based, these words. Put down the words performance-based. Secondly, fill in pressure to perform. Pressure to perform. And thirdly, the possibility of loss. The possibility of loss. Performance-based, pressure to perform, and the possibility of loss. So now look in our Bibles again, and just let's take a minute and read through this a little bit further. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the palace and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his handmaid. And it came to pass, verse 25, that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? So we're reminded what happened. It's their wedding night. He has served for 7 years, and now it's their wedding night, and Jacob is expecting Rachel to come into the wedding tent and consummate the marriage. And Laban kind of pulls a fast one here, and he sends his daughter Leah. And so in the morning, Jacob says, hey, what's the deal here? I'm supposed to be married to Rachel, and you gave me Leah. Well, that must have really boosted Leah's confidence as well, didn't it? So a couple of things. So they're married. And by the way, just so that you know, as we would go on in the story, so Laban says to Jacob, he says, listen, you want to marry Rachel? I'll let you marry Rachel too, but you got to serve me for another 7 years. Well, he did. I think they got married right then, but he had to stay on for another 7 years. He didn't have a dowry. You know, it was common in those days. If you had a dowry, you could give a dowry to the father, and then you wouldn't have to serve him at all. But the service was the dowry for Jacob to marry Rachel, and of course he married Leah as well. So let's look at some things here. Look on your handout now. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. So Leah gives the first child to Jacob. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now look at the rest of this verse. Now therefore my husband will love me. So you understand what Leah's thinking here? I've given him a child, now he's going to love me. And it's interesting, but the name Reuben, it means see a son. So every time, Ethan talked about names on Sunday. So every time they said Reuben, and or every time Leah would say, look, 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 I've given you a son. Now you need to love me. Now you need to care about me. And this just kind of perpetuated itself in her, in with regards to Leah. And look at verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, Jacob did not hate Leah in the way that we use the term hate today. It's the same idea. Remember what Jesus said, unless you hate your mother and father and follow me. The idea is, the word hate that's found in the Bible here is that you have to love Jesus more than anyone else. You have to put Jesus before your mother, your father, your wife, your children. That's the idea of the word hate here. And so that's the so Jacob was not necessarily unkind to Leah. He just didn't love her. And she knew that. She understood that. So that all added to her insecurities. So then she has another son. Let's just read on here. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simon. And that means hearing. Well, because the Lord has seen my problems and all I'm going through, he's given me another son. And surely this now will help in terms with my relationship to Jacob. So you understand when I've had you write these words down, performance-based, pressure to perform, possibility of loss. Listen, unfortunately, in these days, women and wives were more looked on as possessions than they were as partners in a marriage. And if Jacob, and I don't think he would have done this, but if a man discarded his wife, she had nowhere else to turn. She would have had to return back to her father, who we're going to just see in a few minutes. Well, we don't have to see it in a few minutes. We read it. What was the father's relationship? The father thought so little of Leah that he had a scheme and connive to marry her off. All of this has got to run through Leah's mind, wouldn't you think? My father had to trick a man to marry me. My father had to do this. He doesn't really seem to care for me as much as he cared for Rachel. She's now married to a man that really wanted to marry her sister and didn't want anything to do with her. She's now given a son to this man, but he still loves Rachel. And Rachel hasn't even given him a child, and he still loves Rachel more than he loves me. So Leah gets caught up on this whole, and that's what insecurity is. You start to live a performance-based life. That you struggle with this. It's kind of like your life is a report card. I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this to please people. And if I don't do these things, there's an insecurity there. So much so that the Bible says that, well, let's continue to read. And she conceived, verse 44, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time, my husband be joined to me. In fact, the name Levi means to be joined. Now, this is the third son. So by now, I've given him three sons. Now, I'll be number one. And her whole life was filled this way. And then, look at chapter 30 and verse 9. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. Well, I can't have any more kids, so now I'll give him my handmaid, and she'll have a child with my handmaid. Surely this will please him. This is the life of Leah. The foundations of insecurity. Everything in her life had to be performance-based. But in perform, I wasn't any good. I wasn't worth it. And whether it's a relationship here between Leah and Jacob, so many of you gave really good examples. Frank gave a good example of a father and a child. in a marriage between a husband and a wife. A wife say, "I'm never able to meet your standards." Or a husband to the wife, "I'm never able to meet your standards." It's all a performance based and standards. And Leah's caught up in this. On the top of the back of your page, Genesis chapter 29. "And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah," we read this, "and his daughter, and brought her to him, and went into her, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his handmaid, or his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, 'What is this that thou hast done? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?'" And so here's this whole scenario. And so really the real formative years for Leah, it seemed, the father had so little respect or feelings for his daughter that, as I said earlier, he had to kind of marry her off on the sly. And often insecurities in people's lives, they start in the formative years, in the very young years of people's lives, in the home. And that's why in our homes, as we're raising children, the importance of loving our children unconditionally. Do we love them unconditionally? It's not to say we don't correct them, we don't guide them, we don't discipline them, but do we love them unconditionally? And then as they become teenagers and they become adults, do we love them unconditionally? Do we love them unconditionally? Because that's where the insecurities often can be found. What would you think if your father's opinion of you was so low he would stoop to deception to marry you off? What would you think of a parent's thought of you so little that they were abusive in many different ways? Think of the insecurities that would be developed. And then the insecurities that were already in Leah's life were reinforced by Jacob not wanting her, but wanting the sister. One thing after another, after another, after another. I wish, how many of you had an opportunity to read the letter that we received from our missionaries to Italy? The Plonks, yeah. How many of you read that letter? And Mrs. Plonk's testimony. There's a woman who could have been filled with insecurities, probably was filled with insecurities, and raised in an abusive situation, had a father who was a very well-respected in his church. I think, if I remember correctly, he was a song leader, and had a position, and was very abusive, and had to deal with all of that. A life of insecurities, and I think of her when I'm thinking about some of these things, and how the Lord took her life and then transformed her life. So let's look under the second point here, the consequences of insecurity. Insecurities can give us a distorted view. So I wrote it on your handout. Somebody said this, that our world insists that relationships, possessions, achievements, and accomplishments will bring satisfaction and significance. It's interesting because when I asked some of you to give me examples, all of you gave me examples that actually fit that. Like somebody said, somebody is raised and they don't necessarily have a lot of money, and they have friends that have quite a bit more money. So insecurities there are then developed. We already talked about the family situation. And people become insecure with regards to that. So write these three things down. We'll talk about these. Number one, insecurities, the consequences of them, they create an unhealthy competitiveness. An unhealthy competitiveness. They can create an unhealthy relationship or unhealthy relationships. an unhealthy negativity. Unhealthy negativity. So, do you think there was a competitiveness between Leah and her sister Rachel? Absolutely. In fact, on your handout, look at Genesis chapter 30 and verses 7 through 8. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed," and she called his name Naphtali. So you understand what happened here. Rachel hadn't had a child. So Rachel says, well, Leah gave Jacob her handmaid. I'm going to give Jacob my handmaid. And so she has a child. So there's this competitiveness. Well, I can't have a child. Well, we'll have a child through the handmaid. There was a wrestling, it says, that went on between them. So unhealthy competitiveness. When there's insecurities, it creates a wall, especially in relationships. It's an ongoing wall. You find a lot of that. Bill mentioned older brothers and insecurities. And older brothers, if you're a younger brother, boy, you tend to really get it from the older brother. And that competitiveness can last all your lifetime. And what are your accomplishments? And what have you done? And who did you marry? And what kind of a house do you have? And all of that can take place. It's just an unhealthy competitiveness. It all stems from insecurity. Well, if I have a bigger house, or in a marriage, you know, often we talk about the children that are married here. Well, sometimes, if a relationship in a home is not going well between a husband and a wife, and the wife says, well, if I give him a child, then it'll solidify our marriage. Well, that's a dangerous spot to be in. So unhealthy competitiveness, unhealthy relationships. Do you think there was much trust between Rachel and Leah? I don't think so. Do you think there was joy when, you know, in a family, when a sister has a child or a brother in a family, their wife has a child, there ought to be joy and happiness? It seems here that every time, if Leah had a child, Rachel was kind of upset about it. And then the opposite. That's what insecurities do. And then an unhealthy negativity. When you're insecure about things, it's always like, it's never enough, it's never right, you can't. One of the marks of people who are insecure is there's a lot of negativity in their life. Because they're always trying to please other people. They live a performance-based pressure to perform. Am I going to be accepted? Am I going to make the mark? It's all part of insecurity. So what's the answer? What's the freedom from insecurity? I'll write these down and we'll finish up here. First, we need to find rest in God's purpose. Find rest in God's purpose. Find rest in God's promises. Find rest in God's provision. His purpose, His provision, His promises, and His provision. So, you remember the first verse I had you when I asked you to think about, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Well, a couple of verses before that, the psalmist said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a designer original, if you will. We don't come off assembly lines. Each of us is handcrafted by the Lord. Amen? Each of us is handcrafted by the Lord. The Lord, before we even were born, knew everything about us. He knew our life. He knew who we were. He knew what we were going to go through. He knew what we were going to deal with. Not an assembly line, handcrafted. Now take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8, and let's be reminded of some things here. Because Romans chapter 8, it reminds us of our great value to the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know, let's just read this one verse out loud together. Verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now the Bible doesn't say that all things are good, but the Bible says that God can take all things and good can come out of them. We're to be reminded of that. Not everything that we experience necessarily is good, but God will make good to come out of it. One of my favorite examples of that is one of our ladies who's with the Lord now, Donna. She got cancer, and I remember asking her one day, as she struggled with cancer for a number of years, and she had a family member that told her that God was punishing her with cancer because she left a particular denomination. I said, Donna, let me ask you this. If God didn't allow you to get cancer, would you even have any interest in spiritual things at this point in your life? Or did you have any? I think I asked her, did you have any interest in spiritual things? She said, Pastor, absolutely not. I had no interest in spiritual things. So she knew she was sick. She didn't know at the time she was terminal. She probably thought there's a good chance I'm terminal. She battled it. But the reality is the cancer wasn't good. But the fact that she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior, that was the good that came out of it. Follow what I'm saying? So all things work together for good, but they're not all things are not good. So we're reminded of that. Now let's read on. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, you and I, we grow in the Lord, in the things of the Lord. We are to be conformed, become more and more like Jesus as we grow in the faith. We'll never be perfect like Jesus, but we're to grow in the faith. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I read that verse and I'm reminded, wait a minute. God gave up the very best for us. Giving up of His Son, Jesus Christ, to die and pay for our sins, the Lord, our Heavenly Father didn't say, well, I'm going to give the second best to the third best. No, I'm going to give you my very best. My Son, Jesus, is going to die for you. That reminds us of just how valuable we are to God. Let's read on. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's us. It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What is going to separate us from the love of Christ? And he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I remember taking my courses through the Liberty Bible Institute years ago, and Dr. Wilmington, when he taught on this, he said in Bible college, his teacher, when they were teaching on this particular verse, he would read it, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the teacher would say, shall tribulation? And the class would all say, no. And then, or distress? And the class would all say, no. Or persecution? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. That's how precious we are in His sight. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're running out of time, so real quickly, the idea is, listen, as Christians historically have faced persecution down through the ages. We just happen to be in a generation and in a country that we faced very little persecution. But the majority of Christians from the time of the early church until now have faced persecution They've been imprisoned. They've been hunted down. They've been burned alive. They've been all kinds of atrocities. We're just very fortunate. Nay, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the point of all of this is, listen, our freedom from security is reminding ourselves that I don't have to perform for anyone except for Jesus Christ, who loves me unconditionally. He loves me unconditionally. I don't have to live a life of pressure. It's just me and Christ. Am I pleasing Christ? Can anything separate me from His love? Nothing. So there's a security in that. No matter what befalls us, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter who we're dealing with, my relationship with Christ is what ties it all together. Now look at your hand as we finish. The very bottom part of your hand of Genesis chapter 29 and verse 35. I think Leah came to terms with this. Because it says this, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, well, now look what she says. Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and she left bearing. The other names of the boys were trying to get Jacob's attention. But now she says, now I'll just praise the Lord. Whether Jacob loves me more than Rachel isn't important. What's important is I just want to praise the Lord. I just want that relationship with the Lord. I always, when I would do like a premarital counseling, it's nothing new that I thought up. It's just the basic triangle in a relationship, right, between a husband and wife. Husband on one side, wife on the other side, Jesus is at the top. And in any relationship in a family, the head of the father or the mother, the children, but Jesus has got to be at the top. The siblings in the home, Jesus has got to be at the top. Jesus. So here Leah, all of these years, she faced a father who really didn't think much of her, it doesn't seem. She was married to a man that really didn't love her. She had children trying to please him. And no matter, it seems, what she did, it wasn't enough to please him. And then she came to terms with the fact, well, I might not be able to please my father. I might not be able to please my husband. I just need to praise the Lord and please Him. I believe she found peace in that. And then you and I find peace, and it doesn't matter. You read that letter. I should dig up that letter and reprint it. You read the letter from Mrs. Plonk, and that's where she came to. That's the term she came to. It's just her totally being unconditionally loved by Jesus. That's what mattered the most. Insecurity looks at what we don't have and wishes for more. God says we already have everything in Him that we need. So when we come to terms with that, it doesn't matter any longer in our lives what people think of us, what we do, as long as what we're doing, what we're saying, who we are, is pleasing to the Lord. That's the most important thing. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? That's how we deal with our insecurities. Go to the promises of God. I just read that one scripture verse out of Romans chapter number 8. But the Bible is filled with promises of God's love. For I'll never leave you nor forsake me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct thy paths. Greater is He that is in you than he that than he, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And scripture after scripture after scripture just confirms and reaffirms God's unconditional love for us so that we can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That's our Bible study for tonight. Let's have a short prayer time, and then you can go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now the prayer time to follow. We're reminded tonight, Lord, that we can approach the throne of grace because of Jesus, because of the cross and the blood that was shed. Bless this prayer time now. Let it be meaningful. In Jesus' name, amen.